There was a respite from frightening news today. Here's Montgomery County, Maryland Police Chief Charles Moose.
There are no acts of violence in the county to report, and there are no investigative points to report at this time.
Moose refused to say if police are any closer to tracking down the sniper, but as NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, police are squeezing everything they can from the few clues they have.
Investigators are used to dealing with mass murderers who kill many people at one time, and they've seen a fair number of serial killers who cool off between murders. But James Allen Fox, a former profiler now at Northeastern University, says this spree killer is somewhat unique.
He's different from most mass killers in that he doesn't seem to be showing any element of rage and desire for revenge. He's different from most serial killers in that he doesn't have contact with his victims. It doesn't seem to be very personal. Indeed, he just seems to be killing for sport. He's turned Montgomery County into his own personal shooting gallery.
And a seemingly random one, with no pattern among the victims he chooses or a hint of the motivation. But Kim Rosmo, who developed a technique called geographic profiling, says there is a pattern.
There's a pattern to the geography. There's a pattern to the locations the offender has chosen, to the hunting process he is using to find and attack his victims. If we can understand that pattern, we can decode it and use that information to assist investigators in their focus.
They do that by taking the locations the sniper selected and plugging them into the computer. On the theory that the sniper shoots close to his home, but not too close, the computer comes up with hot zones, places that the sniper is most likely to live. That, at least, can narrow down the investigatory area. Moreover, investigators received a small break yesterday when they found a shell casing near the school where the 13-year-old boy was wounded. Lawrence Kobolinski, a forensic scientist at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, says any time investigators find a casing, they can run it through the database at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which contains images of bullets and casings found at crime scenes.
If within the database there is either a bullet or a shell casing from another crime, and the ammunition used in this series of crimes matches, then they would have a lead as to who owns the gun and who's perpetrating these heinous crimes.
He says that's how police found another sniper, Peter Sylvester, 8 years ago. Sylvester shot at three people in Suffolk County, New York, apparently randomly, but the police matched a bullet in the database, which led them to Sylvester. Moreover, investigators are hoping that the shooter has already said something that would give himself away. Michael Wellner is a forensic psychiatrist at New York University Medical School.
People who carry out crimes like this, hunter crimes, are people who have expressed this kind of fantasy to many people in the past. They are weapons enthusiasts, they're hunter enthusiasts. They talk about their fantasies about going out and shooting and doing something that they think is notorious and making a big splash.
Often, crimes like this are solved by sheer luck. For example, Son of Sam was caught because he got a parking ticket. The shotgun sniper who killed several people in Washington, D.C. in 1993 was caught because he ran a red light. James Allen Fox says in this case, too, investigators are, if not counting on, then at least hoping for, some fortuitous break.
They have to get lucky. My expectation is at some point he may get to feel so invincible, so superior to the police, that he may start cutting a few corners, become complacent, and in the process, slip up, and perhaps the police will be there to catch him.
Until then, investigators are following every credible lead they have. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Washington.